B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Down in the fourth quarter, I'm going to hold it against him. But also, I'm going to say this guy doesn't have all the experience in the world. I'm not expecting as much as I should be from other starters, one most notably that's making $9.5 million. But Greg Ward goes out there, shows you he at least wants to make that play, and not just make the play and make the catch, but shows you he wants to get yards after that catch as well.
Mm-hmm.
How many guys on this team can you say that about? The answer is zero. The guys that are
Boston
tight ends.
Scott, maybe.
Guys that are, well, I was going to say, guys that are wide receivers or tight ends, not many guys want to run after the catch. That's, I know everyone wants to pin that on Zach Ertz. Seems like that's everybody.
Dallas.
Yeah, I like Goddard after the catch.
Goddard after the catch, okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't secure the
something.
Ball well
so
enough.
So that's one.
Yeah.
And then after that,
yeah,
it's Greg Ward.
Yeah, then after that, no.
But isn't that crazy?
Uh-huh.
Especially, Trey, when we were conditioned through your era of West Coast offense, get those yards after the catch, all that stuff. And now it seems more along the lines of, yeah, just catch it.
Just catch
just
it.
Just please catch it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the receiver, and I'm not defending them, but they're not put in an advantageous position to get yards after the catch because think of how they catch the ball. They're not catching it on the move an awful lot. You know, it's go down, turn, and catch. Now you have to start up again. And that's kind of hard. You know, like if you want to get yards after catch, I'd rather be on a full run catching a ball and then, you know, trying to make my moves or go through somebody as opposed to going somewhere, stop, catch, turn around, here they come at a full blast of speed. Now I got to try to, you know, get some yards after the catch.
Yeah.
I don't think Doug does a good position of putting them in positions to get yards after the catch either.
That was what was so frustrating about Zach Ertz cutting back to the,
I'll tell you, Mark,
there was nobody in front of him.
I watched that play over and over, just because you said it. And I was like, what's he talking about? He's trying to juke somebody from behind him.
It was that play
8 yards behind him. And he, like, tripped trying to make a move, and nobody still has touched him.
Right.
I didn't get that.
It made no sense.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
It made no sense to
Not
me.
His highlight of his athletic career.
No, but look, of all the guys, as we said yesterday, that made adjustments in that game and stepped up later, Zach Ertz certainly
sure,
did that.
Yeah.
That's still just in an isolated play. Huh? What the? He's already beat. Why are you letting him catch up? But I digress. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net. Set up your free benefits analysis today. If you're just joining us, I apologize. Has my voice come around a little bit more since we started?
Yeah, it's waking up.
It's all stretched out.
Yeah.
It took a lap to warm up. We're good to go. I want to say this. It's a big game, obviously, on Sunday. 1 o'clock. The Eagles headed down to D.C. Beautiful, gorgeous Landover, Maryland. FedEx Field. The worst stadium in the NFL.
It is.
But I'll say this. You know what makes it better? Going down with a bunch of Eagle fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Going down there knowing that you most likely are going to have your team take care of business. Here's my request.
Oh, I always have a good time in that stadium.
No, Bob, here you go. I'm going with confidence.
I've been to that stadium for Eagles games probably 10 or 11 times.
Mm-hmm.
Always have a good time because we own that stadium.
Damn right.
13-6 since 2000.
The Link South, dare I say it.
Yeah.
The Link South.
It's going to be 50 and sunny down there on Sunday also.
It's going to be gorgeous.
Beautiful. Isn't it?
That's the weather
perfect
is so weird.
Weather.
And here's how I'm approaching this game on Sunday. Ready for this one? Confidence. I feel like we're not allowed to have confidence on this Eagles team. And granted, they haven't given us a big reason.
No.
But I'm going to go ahead and say it. That was the turnaround. That was the get-right game. I'm saying it with confidence. Don't you I guess me. That's what you did yesterday, and I didn't like it one little bit, Bob. I didn't like it. Because you know what? They finally played a good at least second half, and your quarterback at least brought you back in the game, and you at least had wide receivers, as we've been talking about, or guys in the role of wide receiver, step up and want to make plays for you, and guys in your backfield stepped up and made plays for you as well, whether that been Miles Sanders, whether that been Boston Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2-11 Giants.
What's with the papooing? You're papooing again.
Yeah, sorry. The performance didn't impress me much.
Come on, Bobby.
That's all I can say, Trey. It didn't impress me all that much.
I am going to look at the Washington Redskins as a team that this Eagles team will beat. They will handle the business, and it's all going to come down to that big game, as we've been saying for weeks, for
here's
months,
hoping,
for years. It's all going to come down to that Dallas game. That's, I mean, we all know that already. But here's the thing, and this is what I want to tell you. We're doing an amazing thing here at the Fanatic, and I got the call yesterday that we were going to go through this promotion, and I couldn't be happier to offer this to our listeners. Fanatic road trip to D.C.
Oh. Road trip!
The Fanatic fleet is ready for a road trip. So listen, this Friday to 97.5 The Fanatic, all day long, starting with us in the morning, obviously, then Anthony, then the Mike Missinelli show, for a road trip sounder. When you hear it on Friday, be the correct caller, is what I'm told. Be the correct caller to the contest line, and you and a guest will be headed to D.C. this Sunday. Here's what you get. Transportation on a charter bus, an awesome tailgate experience with food provided by Cavs Catering, unlimited drinks.
Mm.
I think we just limit a little bit, maybe. But unlimited drinks.
Have you ever met Eagles fans, Mark?
Unlimited drinks and tickets to the game, obviously. This is all courtesy of the great people of PhillySportsTrips.com. Jamie, I believe you just went down to Miami with these great people.
Yeah, Vince and Bob, they do a great job over at Philly Sports Trip. They had a great time in Miami with us. I'm sure they'll do a phenomenal job on the bus trip down.
So we're going to be giving this away, this road trip away on Friday.
Delicious catering on site, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had a guy down in Miami. It was tip-top.
Oh, yeah, What'd you enjoy?
A little pasta, a little burgers, a little dogs, you know, full gamut.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Yeah.
So listen on Friday, and you'll call the contest line all Friday, starting with us, then Anthony, and then Mike in the afternoon. So make sure you check that out. Transportation on the charter bus, courtesy, again, of Philly Sports Trips and PhillySportsTrips.com. Now, by the way, amazing gift for the holiday season to hit up PhillySportsTrips.com. Not too bad. 610-632-0975. So we've been talking about this this hot take from Doug Peterson about his quarterback, Carson Wentz. Here's Doug Peterson at his press conference yesterday talking about, he was asked about Carson's performance overall and whether or not this was one of his best performances ever, and here's how Doug addressed that question.
There's been games like that where he's had big games, but this one where to be down the way we were and to lose another receiver, to lose your right tackle, to really step up and make the plays in those conditions too, really, to me, I feel like that's his best he's played.
Yeah, best he's played.
He lost to everybody.
Uh-huh.
He was just a man alone on the field.
Uh-huh.
He played like butt cheeks for the first half, but that second half.
But they came together.
Yeah.
Those cheeks came together. Pow! Let's go.
Pow!
That's right. You see it?
Them cheeks provided. The diamond came
That's
out.
That's right. He brought those cheeks together.
You can't make diamonds without some pressure, Mark.
That's right. There you go.
RG3 actually tried to trademark that.
Did he really?
Yeah, he failed.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because it's been around for a long time. I love when somebody tries to trademark something that's like been in existence for hundreds of years.
Who was it? Was it? It wasn't Kenny. It was the other Jenner lady. Not Caitlyn. The daughter.
The other one.
Yeah, her.
Not Caitlyn.
Kylie Jenner.
There we go. I got it.
Rise and Shine.
I'm cool. I'm hip.
She tried to trademark that song that slaps, Rise and Shine. You know what I'm saying? She tried to trademark that. I don't know if that worked out or not. Probably. She's a billionaire. Good for her. Yeah. But here's the thing. When it comes to Carson's performance against the Giants, can we really say it was his best performance?
No.
He was playing all loosey-goosey at the first half. And them things came together.
Loosey goosey.
Let's go. Let's get this win, baby.
Carson, that was probably his most meaningful performance.
It's beautiful.
I would say that, right?
It's a good game, man.
Can we go with that? Most meaningful? Because when has the season been on the line and he's come and saved it?
Meaningful is a good way to say it.
Yeah, because
I was going to say confidence building or.
Well, here's the thing. Last year,
we won't know until Sunday.
If you remember, last year they beat the Giants. And I talked about that game. I didn't want to hear that it was the Giants, and they were terrible last year as well, and they went to the Meadowlands. And I remember we were doing the show, and I said, I don't care that it was the Giants. You need that game to get right. We thought that would be the Dolphins game. Trey, that wasn't the Dolphins game, unfortunately. But this game, just like last year with the Giants, Carson played back-to-back phenomenal games. Played great against the Panthers the following week last year. They unfortunately lost because their defense just got their doors blown off, if you remember. They allowed 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and they ended up losing to the Carolina Panthers. But Carson played very well in those 2 games. I'm hoping this is the game where they needed to right the ship, and then they're able to get after it, hopefully, in D.C., in Landover, Maryland, on Sunday at 1 o'clock. If Doug's talking about the best performance, we've seen much better performances from Carson Wentz, and some of them have been against the Washington Redskins. Bob, you mentioned the 2017 game where he had the great escape against the Redskins on Monday night. Mm-hmm. That was also the game, the 64-yard touchdown pass to Mac Collins. By the way, all right, that's fun. And then in 2017, he also had four touchdowns before he left the game when he was hurt against the Rams. That's a pretty damn good game.
Threw a touchdown with a torn knee.
Yeah, exactly. Two ligaments in his knee.
He had four games in 2017 where he had four touchdowns.
Yeah, he's pretty good. That was a pretty good year. Pretty good run.
You know.
See, here's the other thing. Even in 2017, Doug referred to that year, and you know I hate this, but referred to it as the MVP year. Like, he didn't win MVP. Like,
he should have. No.
Okay. Should have, could have, would have. Should have, could have, would have. But he said, oh, yeah, during that, you know, the MVP campaign, that type of thing. I was like, yeah, but he didn't win it. But nonetheless, he's had better.
It's safe to say.
He's had better performance.
Yeah, as long as you call it the campaign and not the MVP year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he.
Good hedge,
he,
Doug. Good hedge.
No, I don't think he went campaign. Just went, you know, the MVP run.
Mm-hmm. But I think this is what Doug is saying, because everybody was like, all right, you know what? Hey, if he's the elite quarterback that everybody's putting him as, mm-hmm. then he'll win with whoever you put out there on the field with him. And that's what he did. He went out there and got the win with whoever. Hey, all right, this is all I have. I only have one starting receiver. Here we go. Let's go get this win.
This is the difference when people talk about how bad the wide receiving core has been.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the comparison yesterday, as many people have. Pinkston and Thrash are the guys that only people always want to talk about. Again, without the exception of the Sean Taylor play, lost it in the lights, alligator body, Todd Pinkston, at least those guys wanted to make a play for you. You didn't even have guys willing to make a play for the quarterback. Now you do. That goes miles further than guys that are just there because, oh, well, we'll see how this goes. And that's the attitude I get from Nelson Agholor all the time. That's the attitude I get from Alshon Jeffrey from time to time. And now he's not even going to be out there anymore. You know you'll at least have guys that want to step up and make that play. If Carson just has guys that have the same get-up-and-go mentality, and the guys that, by the way, might not be as tainted as guys like Alshon Jeffrey or Nelson Agholor that will show frustration with Carson Wentz, guys that are just worried about making it in the NFL, maybe that's all Carson needs. Maybe that's what. Maybe just guys, average guys that just want to make a play.
And who go where they're supposed to go and don't fool their quarterback. Right, Trey?
That's right.
Yeah, even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside made a play for him on
Monday night.
610-632-0975. We got Chuck in North Carolina. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Somebody's hitting me up now on Twitter. Couch is hitting me up on Twitter saying, for real, a get-right game? I question your intelligence. I question my own intelligence.
I question your intelligence all the time, Mark.
610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Joel Embiid after last night's game. A little troubling to Joel Embiid. Is somebody messing with him, like from upper management, from the coaching staff? Because he alluded to something post-game that didn't sit well with me. We'll let you hear what that was coming up in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
No.
Mark.
Who is this? I don't even know who this is.
Run DMC.
This is Run DMC?
Christmas in Hollis, man.
Yeah.
Christmas in what?
Hollis. Not Thomas.
Yeah, no, I like the classics.
Just makes you think of childhood.
You know me.
Jim and Eileen, bumping Run DMC.
No, stop.
Hard streets of Washington Crossing.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Whenever,
it's time.
whenever Joe Farzetta was putting out the seven fish, he made sure he had his Adidas
on. Hey, Eleanor, fire up DMC.
He had his Adidas on.
Yeah. Turn off that Sinatra and put on DMC. Get my Adidas shoes. That would make my Christmas. You know what? Actually, this seven fish, I think it's happening. Real quick, before we get to Joel Embiid,
wait,
we got
more family problems. It's not happening, did you say?
Oh, no, that playing
Run DMC will be a part of Seven Fishes this year.
I'm sorry. Okay,
although now I'm tempted. As I'm stuffing a calamari, I might be... Hey, Dad, there's this new thing I want you to... Anyway, it's called hip-hop. All right. Chuck, now, this is where I get the text message where my dad's friends text him and tell him I'm talking bad about. What's this about me being a terrible father? No, Dad, it's a... Anyway. All right, Chuck in North Carolina. What's up, buddy? You're speaking of great fathers, Chuck in North Carolina. What's up, buddy?
Good morning. Appreciate that comment, as well as all y'all are great fathers as well. And maybe Sam will be a great mother one day, you know. We never know.
There you go.
Run DMC, you know, it's from one of my favorite movies, Die Hard, which is an awesome Christmas classic.
It's not a Christmas movie, Chuck.
Wait. Is that what the driver was listening to in the basement?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie?
Nah.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Every year this debate comes
it's
up.
Not it's not a Christmas time.
It's not a Christmas movie.
Carl Winslow has to get home to his family.
Okay, here's what we'll do. All right, here's what we'll do. At 7:37 of this segment, okay, we'll jump into that conversation because I can see the people are frothing at the mouth in here. But anyway, Chuck, proceed.
I'm going to the game this weekend. I heard y'all talking about it and everything, and I had won a raffle about a month ago, and I'm going to the game with my son this weekend. My first game I've ever been to, and I'm...
I don't know how that happened. I don't know. He's really excited, I guess.
That was weird.
I guess he's really excited. But no, that's good. So the people that go down there with us, they're going to be able to go there. Trey?
That was my bad.
Do you have...
Chuck, I'm sorry, Chuck.
I assume something happened where Chuck got hung up on whatever, but I didn't know. And then I look over, and Trey's got a hand in the cookie jar face.
Yeah. Like, I try to push this phone far away from me all the time.
Then he hung up on Chuck.
Yeah.
He called you a great father.
Notepad, actually. Yeah.
What happened was, see, my folder hit the button, and Chuck is gone now. I'm sorry, Chuck.
Call us back, Chuck.
Chuck is no longer with us.
We need to give him his time.
May that phone call rest in peace. But real quick, I wanted to get to this. Joel Embiid is one of our favorite athletes to watch, especially when he's on. Is he not?
Yeah.
I mean, really, yes, absolutely.
Even when he'd struggle in years past, there'd still be that one moment of, you know, our guy.
He's Philadelphia's son.
Really. I mean, we are, like, I feel, I said this earlier, I felt more connected with a guy from Cameroon than I did from a guy like Carson Wentz, for instance, right? Like a guy from America. I felt like I could hang out more with Joel Embiid than Carson Wentz. But nonetheless, Joel Embiid always had those moments, no matter if he was going through some struggles. He was always a fun player to watch. You were going to see something, at least one play that was spectacular. And last night, I'll tell you right now, you saw something spectacular in that game. Here's JoJo in the third quarter, especially when we've been begging to see him have fun in the game. He started having some fun when he had this miraculous over-the-shoulder, behind-the-back bucket made where he was fouled and he went to the line. Listen to this play-by-play last night from the third quarter.
It's inbounded. It goes to Tobias, who in turn goes to Joe. He's got a seal. He flips it up backwards and in. Joel Embiid with his back to the basket, and he was fouled. And he preens for the crowd, rising with both hands and basically saying to the Philadelphia fans, let me hear you.
He turns around, smiles, raises his arm, does a little shimmy, a little shoulder shake, whatever you want to call it, and he's smiling. And you're like, yeah. No, unfortunately, he missed the foul shot. But nonetheless, he's out there having a good time again.
Yes.
And that's what we want to see from Joel Embiid.
Need to see more of this.
So after the game, by the way, 22-10 is what he's able to put up. 6 assists, if I'm not mistaken, and 4 turnovers. So not the 7 or 8 that we've seen from him before. He had a better game. It was good to see him enjoy the game again. But after the game, he said something when he was asked about having fun again that kind of stuck with me a little bit. Take a listen to this.
I have not been having fun like usually, like I said, just mainly because I'm still trying to figure it out, to make it work and all that stuff. And it goes back to with me being mature. And one of the biggest part of my game is just having fun. And by having fun is talking trash. And but that part that's kind of being cut. So I just need to be myself and, you know, I guess just do whatever I want because when I'm having fun, I dominate.
I agree with everything he's saying, and that's what we've been calling for all season long. But that part of my game is being cut? By who?
You don't say that if you're cutting it yourself.
Yeah. Like you say, I'm trying to develop.
I'm working on being more mature. I'm working on this. Not it's been cut.
He's putting the action on something else. He's putting the decision on someone else. That's what it sounds like to me.
Maybe that would explain why he's been mopey.
All right, so I came out of it like this.
All right.
It excited me the way he talked. I think we're going to see more of the hands in the air, the smile in Joel Embiid now. I think the part he's talking about getting cut was somebody, upper management, I assume Elton Brand, talking to him after the fight with Karl Anthony Towns, saying, knock it off with the social media stuff. You got suspended an extra game just because of your social media, you know, take after and fighting with Karl Anthony Towns. Knock it off. I think Joel took it as to, oh my gosh, I got to stop being happy and having fun on the court. And I think he kind of playing the mopey kid. Mm. I really do. I think Elton, in response to what he said last night, either last night grabbed him or today will grab him and say,
and
hey, Joe.
And I said no.
We're not talking about, like, you not having fun out there. Go be dominant, have fun, raise your arms, trash talk, whatever. Just don't get suspended and then put things out on Twitter. I think there's a miscommunication there. I think, Joel, knowing him the way that I do, I could totally see it being the case that I just played out.
I like the idea of the mopey kid. That, I think, explains it rather well.
Yeah,
like,
I really do, Mark.
You tell a kid not to do something, and then he does, like, nothing to the sort. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like the bottom lip comes out.
You can't go to the mall after school. Well, I guess I'll never go to the mall again.
I'm never allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You hate me.
And the next day, the parents like, hey, we got to run to the mall and get that thing. And the kid's like, well, I can't go.
I'm not allowed. Yeah, I'll stand outside and wait for you.
I had this conversation with Toots like a week ago, like where I was the mopey kid. And I'm like, I thought I'm not supposed to DVR game.
Oh, I was a mopey kid yesterday with my computer breaking. Daddy was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, leave me alone.
We're all children, yes. Basically. But, okay, this is what I have to say to that. If Chief Beef was in the room with me right now, I'd say, you listen to me, Chief Beef.
No,
the
you
best
wouldn't.
Version. I would say, Mr. Brand.
Chief Beef is in the building.
No, I would say, you listen to me, Chief Beef, with your brilliance of getting Matisse Thybulle at 20, you brilliant man. You leave that Joel Embiid character alone. You let him have his fun. He is at his best when he is having fun on the basketball court. Don't you try to rein him in. Don't you put the cuffs on him?
He's trying to stop with all the social media stuff. I think that's more. And then one of the things that athletes kind of deal with at times, because I dealt with it as well, is when you're trying to move past something else. When, you know, because like when I was younger, man, I used to talk trash to everybody. Until Bruce Smith sat me down after a game one time and was like, hey, man, you know, one day you're going to be that old vet where, you know, you're not going to want one of these young cats coming in there and popping off at the mouth like that. So I was like, you know what, Bruce? I thought about it at the time. I was like, man, not that.
Shut up, old man.
And, you know, but afterwards, I was like, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense. So, you know, it started changing up a little bit. Sometimes finding that balance can be a little difficult. And I think that's where he is right now, where it was like, all right, I want to grow up. I want to let some of this stuff go. But how do I do it?
Yeah.
And it's been kind of, you know, you're trying to find your way. But I think for him, it's just get back to having fun on the court. Don't worry about it. And, you know, I think it's more of let go of all the social media stuff.
The social media stuff doesn't bother me as much, because what bothers me more is not seeing the guy enjoy playing the game.
But I think the social media, when he got on there and started posting about the fight and all that.
That was dumb.
Exactly. And I think that's what they're trying to reel in a little bit. Because, you know, I think that had a lot to do with how long he was suspended.
That's why he got the second game. Yeah. I had no question in my mind.
And think about it. How many times have the Sixers had to reel him in? Probably not much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we were on one road trip his rookie year, and they kicked him off the road trip. Go home. You're not doing what we're asking you to do. Go home. And that was, like, eye-opening for him. There hasn't been many times where they've had to reel him in. He got smacked on the back of the hand for maybe the first time. And how did he respond? Maybe he didn't respond all that well, and he played Mr. Mope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I can't do this. And maybe now he's realizing, you know what? Okay, I understand what their lesson was. Maybe it was the social media aspect, not everything else, and he's going to get back to doing everything else.
The social media part, though, that was an obvious wrong on his part. Like, don't talk about the fight. If a suspension is looming, just stop. Like, that, no. But The other stuff, just trash talking somebody else where there's not a suspension that could be involved. Like, it all is. Sam Hinkie, I give him credit for this. He handled that situation the best possible way that anybody could have handled it. Because people thought, oh, this guy out on social media seems so wacky and he's not playing. What, you know, what do you think about that? And Sam Hinkie was like, I want him to take over my Twitter account.
Yeah.
Like, that was a great way to handle that. But now with Joel being able to play, I don't mind as long as it's not about anything that could get him suspended. Yeah, go ahead. Tweet away. Instagram away. Post away. Whatever you want to do. Like, that's great. But on the court, I just want to see you enjoying the game. Because he's at his best when he's able to improv a little bit. He's at his best when he is putting forth the effort that makes him have fun. Like, when you take those, when you put the reins on him, when you handcuff him, that's where he seems like he is limiting his game. And that's where, I don't know if he's trying to play outside himself. Because I don't remember him turning the basketball over and being weak with the basketball as much as he has been this year previously in his career. Like, it seems like even for him, like, I know people have been yelling about the threes for years, and people have been yelling for him to get in the post for years that we've been watching him play now. But as far as being weak with the basketball, I don't remember being this much of a problem.
No. I don't know if he's trying to do too much, if there's something going on. Brett Brown in the locker room last night said after the game, before Matisse Thybulle rung the bell, he said, JoJo, way to pass out of the post. So you know they're concentrating on it. You know what they're talking. I went to a high school game yesterday, so, you know, and there's a 6'8 kid on one of the teams. One of the coaches, catch the ball, keep it high, see where the double's coming from. I'm like, oh, my God, can you go to the Wells Fargo Center tonight and say that to a certain 7'2 guy?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it is a pretty simple fix. It's and that's where the aggravation, I think, with the Charles Barkley, with all of us, comes in. It seems like an easy fix that they're just not fixing.
And that's what Charles got into after the game.
Yeah.
And you bring up that name, Charles Barkley. Well, he and Shaq, after the game, were rather upset with both big men. They were upset with Jokic. They were upset with Embiid because they know how much better they can play than what they've been seeing so far. Not just last night, but all season long. And Joker's numbers are down. Embiid's numbers are down this year. They know that these guys can play dominant. And we've talked about this before. Embiid a couple nights ago had 27 and like 17.
He had 26 and 21 against. I think this is what you're referring to.
Yeah.
It's funny. I wrote this down. 26 and 21 against Washington. And we rightfully bitched about his game the next day because he had 8 turnovers.
Because it was mopey.
Yeah.
He was also mopey.
And also, too, because his point spread was 26. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you lost that. You lost on
that
one. Yeah. And then I lost on this one, too, because his point spread was 22.5.
No, the game spread was 5.5, and I had that. So losing by the hook's always fun.
That's a good time.
Good times.
But nonetheless, we're used to watching him play the game at in a fun way. And when you take that away from him, maybe that's the reason he's mopey. Now, Chuck and Shaq were on him hard. The only thing that really bothered me, because we'd said all the same stuff they said, but the only thing that really bothered me last night was Charles Barkley saying that he's not out on the Sixers, at least not yet. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Because of this? Because these guys are playing below themselves in the first half of the season? Like, I get it a little bit. But I'm not about to jump ship on the Sixers because I think they can still come out of the East. I want to see how they do against the Bucks on Christmas Day. But I still think they're a very good basketball team, and they're, if not the best team in the Eastern Conference, they're second best team in the Eastern Conference. So I'm not out on the Sixers. That's the only thing that bothered me from that little rant, because most of it I agreed with.
Yeah, and it was funny because I'm watching, I'm like, this is well thought out. Like, Barkley's not just saying this off of the top of his head, I didn't think. I interpreted it to be, man, if they don't fix these problems that just keep popping up over and over again with the Embiid turnover, Simmons not shooting a jump shot, you know, different defense collapsing late in games, big leads collapsing late in games. I think it's just a frustration level that Barkley sees over and over again. I took it from him. It was going directly to Brett.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That's how I interpret
all right.
it. Yeah.
Real quick. All right. We've not had this conversation on the show. Apparently, this has happened before. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
You're right.
But you're wrong.
No, he's not.
No, it's already. There's no longer a debate.
The screenwriter came out and said it is a Christmas movie.
What? They did it for me. It's a Christmas movie.
Just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He said, well, then he did a poor job.
Bruce,
did you not pay attention to Carl Winslow in the movie, Bob? He misses his family on Christmas.
I didn't like him in that other show with the kid, you know, with Urkel. So
Family
I'm not
Matters.
Love
family,
Bob.
Matters?
Yeah.
Family Matters? You don't like Family Matters?
What? What's wrong with you?
Bob?
Damn it,
all
Bob.
Right. Now I'm more pissed off
like
about
Stefan.
This. You know what? I'm just going to just... You like Stephon because Stephon could ball.
Cool. Yeah,
he could ball.
He could ball too.
Yeah, he was a basketball player.
Always had a little thing for Laura.
Well, how could you not?
Yeah,
all right, anyway, Christmas movies. So anyway, Die Hard is not a Christmas. Okay,
no.
The writer, I don't care what the writer says. The writer's stupid. You know who I care about? Know who I care about? Bruce Willis, who said it's not a Christmas movie.
He said it's a Bruce Willis movie.
He said it's not a Christmas movie.
It's a Bruce, but that was the rest of the statement. It's not a Christmas movie.
There's no reason. Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah, because it's an action movie.
No, because he's smelling his own fart there. The screenwriter said it's a Christmas movie.
Doug Peterson didn't call Philly Philly either.
How about that?
Well,
that statue.
So for you to say he's a Super Bowl winning coach, I don't know.
Philly Philly.
That's a statue of Nick Foles telling Doug Peterson what play to call, as far as I'm concerned. But here's the deal. Die Hard's not a Christmas movie. Bruce Willis says it's not. It's not a Christmas movie. Boom.
But the writer says it is.
The writer, what does the writer do? The writer writes a script.
He writes the script, hands it
to Hollywood execs. They do their own thing, and they give it to another guy to portray, like Bruce Willis, star of Moonlighting at the time, and he portrays it as not a Christmas movie.
Maybe at some point he had on a Santa Claus fit or something on the head.
Yeah, I believe at one point there is a Santa.
No, they put a Christmas theme to it. They put a Santa hat on the guy and wrote, now I have a machine gun, ho, ho, ho. That's it.
There you go. There was a Christmas.
It's a reference.
And Carl Winslow's listening to Christmas music.
It's that
in the
time
cruiser.
Of the year,
somebody
but it's
got
not
shot
a Christmas movie.
If Bruce Willis says it's not a Christmas movie, it's all you got to know.
I'm with you, Mark.
It's about getting home to your family and what's important because Bruce Willis is trying to get back with his ex, who he loves.
That has nothing to do with Christmas, him getting back with his ex.
By the way, that's
time
of
the
year. You can do that in the middle of August.
Yeah, but you're more appreciative during that time of the year.
That
doesn't make
it a Christmas
movie. Out of him.
Oh, get out of here.
Let me tell you something about that Holly Gennaro. Tramp. It's a tramp. How about that? All right, coming back, let you hear a little bit more from Doug Peterson. Time of the Fanatic is 7:40.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, that Parks Casino is pretty insane. I went down there for the first time yesterday to check out the new sports book.
Mm-hmm.
No, Parks Casino just kind of gets better and better every time I go back. I haven't seen the sports book yet. I'll be there.
Yeah,
I'll be kicking up my feet, watching the games, getting some drinks, having myself a good old time. Now, we talked about this a little bit later, in the program. With Doug Peterson and what he's going to do at the right tackle position with Lane Johnson being out. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's going to be done for the year. We'll get more from Adam Schefter in about 9 minutes when he joins us. But other than that, when you look at what this team has done without Lane Johnson at right tackle, they've had their struggles. Vitae, I think, is the only way you can go in this.
Yes.
Doug Peterson was asked about putting Jason Peters over there. Because Jason Peters said after Lane Johnson missed a game a couple of weeks ago, why not have, Jason Peters came out and said that he would actually go over there to right tackle. A little too late for him to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But now the opportunity is presenting itself again, possibly. Here's Doug Peterson yesterday talking about the best thing to do at right tackle is probably have Big V over there.
We'll look at everything, obviously. I thought Big V did a nice job in the game yesterday. He and Brandon side by side. So right now we would consider just keeping that, kind of status quo there.
I think that's the best way to address this.
Absolutely.
Let's not get fancy.
Yeah, no.
Andre Dillard didn't work out so well.
No.
He wasn't. Now, we were all critical, and rightfully so, because he wasn't good. There were a couple of good plays that he made.
Yeah.
But there's no other way to address this week than having Vitae play right tackle.
You don't want to mess around with it. Let's go ahead, Vitae. This is an area where he's familiar. There's no need in having somebody that hasn't been in a right-handed stance to get over there right now because, it could go bad with just anybody that's rushing against you. There's a lot that happens when you have to pass that. So let's put the best guy over there that's already been in a right-handed stance and just let Vitae do his thing.
Yeah, if you have a guy like Vitae who has had some struggle. Now, I'll say this, and albeit it was against the Giants, and Bob, you and I have talked about this, Vitae is not good coming into a game.
No, not good off the bench.
He was okay. He was good against the Giants. He allowed one sack, but he was good against the Giants. But when he starts a game, he seems to be able to get in that rhythm a lot better. Mm-hmm. And some guys just don't have that off-the-bench switch. Other guys, they have to know that they're starting well before the game, get into their rhythm, go through their warm-up before the game, and then get out there on the field and see what they can do. Vitae seems to be that type of guy. Mm-hmm. And I want to I think that's the best possible thing they could do. I don't think they're trying to overthink this. Keep it simple, stupid, especially this later in the year. This late in the year when you got so many other injuries to worry about, like we just mentioned, not just Lane Johnson, but also Alshon Jeffrey. Whether or not Nelson Agholor is going to be ready to go. Keep it as simple as you can on your offensive line. Protect your quarterback. Open up those holes. Let guys hit the outside as well with Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. And just run from there. But the other thing that's very curious with all the injuries, is how does it happen? And Trey, you've been through this. How does it happen where you think a guy, you're so confident a guy will play for you, that you allow him to be a game time decision, even if you have no wide receiver to go in his stead and play for you? How does that happen, first and foremost? And then how does it happen, and then he's not a shoe-in to start the following week either?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with
Agholor.
With Agholor, you know, and then it's not a lot of information coming out. I mean, if he's missing multiple weeks like this, I mean, is there a sprain? Is there a tear? Is there
knee contusion? Is all we've been told.
Contusion.
But what
is that? So it was bruised. Okay,
but they were confident enough to have him as a game time decision, thinking he was going to play. They were confident enough in that. And now, not only did he not play in that game, he could be affected on what will be a short week here. Monday night game, and now semi-short week, and now they're going to kick off Sunday at 1 o'clock in DC. Who's running? Like Doug Peterson came out yesterday and said that he was a little late because he was talking to the medical staff, and I was like, oh, okay, good. So you had the meeting. And then really didn't give us much information other than day-to-day with Lane Johnson and that Nelson Agholor, I still don't know, and probably going to be a long time before we see Alshon Jeffrey again.
Right.
He's done it in the past where he's offered the media opportunities to speak to the medical staff, but that never happens.
No.
It's all pretentious language. It's all, you know, just it's not true is what he's saying. So why is it that you have so many questions surrounding from that coming from that medical staff, and then you actually go into a football? Like when we asked Charlie Casserly about it at the start of the show at 6:30 today, he was almost dumbfounded by it as well. Three wide receivers available on game day. You were confident enough to have that guy come out and go through the game time decision process where they run around a little bit and let you know if they can go. He can't go, and now he could be affected for the following week's game. Things continue to add up to make this medical staff look really bad.
Yeah, and this might be on the player also.
Yeah.
You know, contract year. Yeah, is there a problem between he and Carson Wentz? Does he not want to go out there and look bad, which he has this year, and possibly get hurt more? You know, is he resting on his laurels? I don't know. I think, like Trey put it, so what's up with Agholor? Yeah, I don't think we're just talking medical anymore, are we?
Yeah, I don't think so, especially if it's a game time decision. That's meaning that the player is saying, hey, I can go or I can't go. The medical staff you know what, you're not going. This is the player saying, if they're saying that, all right, this is going to be a game time decision, this is based off of, hey, we feel like you can go, but it's going to be up to you. Do you feel comfortable getting out there and performing? And I think that, you know, this is more on him.
Yeah, and yeah. I've seen those guys go through the game time decision process, literally before the game, where they come out, they run around a little bit, they'll look at the trainer, they'll just shake their head, be like, nope, can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that's what happened with Agholor. But even if you're him, why would you stay out of this game? If it's a contusion, are you going to make it worse?
Maybe he's looking to the future. Maybe he's making a business decision and thinking, me going out there isn't the best thing because I don't have a relationship with this quarterback. The fans are on me. I'm a little banged up. I don't want to put this on film when I go into a year that I'm looking to sign a new contract.
Right.
Not that he has a great film going right now, I wouldn't think.
Right.
But he doesn't want to make it worse.
But this is
all speculation.
What week is this? Because I always just look at the games. This is week
14.
14.
Yeah,
everybody's banged up.
Yeah,
everybody's banged up. You know, so come on, let's go.
It's week 15 now. but it was week 14 that he was trying to play.
Yeah, let's go. Because, I mean, I've never seen where you play a full game and then you're done. And then you come back, you play another full game. And then done again.
And by the way, I'm not begging for him to play, by the way. It's like, I'm not a big Dell Sagler fan anyway. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to help your team play and win.
It's hard not to think, you know, free agent, business decision.
Well, that's cool. And then if that's where he is, then hey.
You don't want him anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want anybody that's not trying to go out there and give us everything that he has anyway. So, you know, let's get some of these young cats that are hungry, that are looking to make some plays.
Absolutely.
That want to get their name out there, that want to produce. All right, cool.
Let's go, JJ.
Now you're starting to see which ones are really for your team. This is making everybody's decisions a lot easier moving forward.
Yeah, right or wrong, and this is what I think when I look at it. And I don't think he's right in thinking this way, just to preface this. I think Nelson Agholor almost blames Wentz for affecting his possible money he can make next year on the market.
Of course, they always do that.
Yep.
Somebody else's fault.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I couldn't track the ball because it wasn't a good ball, and you cost me 2 45-yard touchdowns this year, which those two extra touchdowns could have gotten me an extra $2 million on the open market.
Yeah, and remember, the ball was out of position.
Yeah.
It came in a lower trajectory.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a hot take to say this is a
business decision.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.